Okay, it's good to be back here, and appreciate prayers while I was gone to New Hampshire this week. Appreciate Brother Schabert's message on the Wednesday night. Understand it was an outstanding message. Several things. One is Brother Kulis gave me some books that relate to the Bible and Hebrew and so on, so I brought these. I already have them, but if any of the seminarians or anybody else wants any of these books, they're up here free to. There's one, a Bible dictionary, I think, and several other helps. So go up afterwards and grab whatever you need. had a good week. Ended up in staying in a log cabin. The Kulises had moved in closer to Plymouth, where they've got two churches, and bought a log cabin, a very, very nice log cabin. So I stayed there. Didn't have any internet, but did have running water and things like that, but had a good week. They were doing some refurbishing, so one of the men in the church was helping refurbish from within, but he had built the log cabin initially back in the 80s, I think, and then from that, after that time, he got saved and then joined the church there, so he was able now to come back as a saved man and help refurbish the log cabin that he originally built. But then he built his own home, and he built it close to a very ritzy type of camp up there. They have a lot of camps up there. So he said earlier this week, I think it's Monday, he said a bunch of black SUVs went driving down the road heading to that camp. And, of course, he knew it was a ritzy camp and so on. But he found out that one of the Obama daughters was going to camp that week. So she was up there in the same area where I was. So she was about 20 miles from me, or was the other way around. But then he said one of his neighbors, I'm not sure if they did this on purpose or not, but they set off some real loud, not firecrackers, but like cherry bombs or even louder than that, whatever they call those, set these things off in the area just for their entertainment. And he said within 2 minutes there were helicopters over his house. So anyway, that was interesting. All right, what I want to do is deal with something I dealt with last week, so we're taking a little hiatus from going through the book of John, or going through the Gospels through John. So I have a handout here, so we'll get this going around. You can turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 2. This is something that I dealt with up there. I was dealing with angelology, but under angelology would be Satanology and demonology. And so I want to deal with this passage that we have here. I preached in the church up there on the Tuesday night. They have Tuesday, or he has three churches, so he has Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night services for three different churches that he pastors up there. But I preached on Tuesday night, and afterwards I dealt with some of these things, and afterwards I had several individuals and families come to me and said they really and appreciate it because exactly what they needed, because their Christian homes were struggling because of some of this demonism that was coming in, and they were seeing the aftermath. All right, but anyway, in Colossians chapter 2, let's look there, verses 8, 9, and 10. As Paul is dealing with heresy in the Colossian church, and this heresy was the heresy that was prevalent certainly in the first century, known as Gnosticism. And Gnosticism, and I've mentioned that term as we go through 1st and 2nd John, but that comes from a Greek word that means knowledge, but it's the idea is secret knowledge to help you in the spiritual realm, but it's false knowledge. So in these verses, Paul says, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Of course, philosophy there is the love of wisdom. Just break that word down, love of wisdom. And vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that's Christ, dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, several key points here is that there's a false system that is based on men's traditions and the rudiments. Rudiments, I believe, here refers to demons. So demons and men, or apostates and demons, put forth a false position, and it's a perversion of verses 9 and 10. The word there, fullness, the Greek word is pleroma. I'm going to use that here in the handout, but that's the Greek word behind fullness. But the scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he is the pleroma bodily. All right? And then ye are complete in him. So if we're in Christ, there is nothing missing. There's nothing missing in our spirituality. We have everything spiritually. There's no competition out there who can offer us something better than what we have in Christ. We are complete in him. Nothing's missing spiritually. And then he's the head over all principality and power. These are two words that refer to angels or demons, principalities and powers. So Christ is the head over all angels, all demons. All right, so this is the positive side. Now, sometimes when Paul puts forth positive biblical truths, we don't always know the background, or we have to investigate the background to see what he was trying to deal with. And we find out through some church fathers who came in the second century, Irenaeus, for instance, and he gives us the background of the faulty teaching. And the faulty teaching is what I tried to give you here in this handout. So let's look at the handout now. And the handout is an effort, both graphically and with text, to try to explain the faulty position on the fullness or the pleroma. And then we can see what Paul is saying on the positive. So here I have a chart, first of all. at the top, I have the Greek word pleroma and Gnosticism. So that's the word for fullness. So you can put there if you want to write give that meaning. Pleroma means fullness. But anyway, the false position teaches this, that there is deity, and between deity and man, there are these aeons. Aeons are aeons. And we have these aeons in the pleroma. Now, the aeons are entities, spirit entities. At closer to deity, these aeons are like angels. They're immaterial. But as we get closer to man, these aeons become material. All right? So, now that's the false position. Now, let me try to lay some things out here. So, I'm not done speaking about this. So, if you're still a little unclear, I want to try to expand on this and bring it all together. So, just bear with me. But if you look there in Genesis chapter 3, here we see the beginning of Satan's theology. And Satan said to Eve there in 3, 4, and 5, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, he makes two false statements. No death, or we could say deathlessness. Deathlessness. And you shall be as gods. Deification. Now notice the word know and knowing. The foundation of this is knowing, knowledge. Knowing or knowledge. And the Greek word for knowledge is a word from which we get Gnostic. Gnosis. All right, so Gnostic. So we talk about Gnosticism. So Satan offered two lies in the garden. These two lies worked on a perfect couple. So if they're going to work on a perfect couple, they're going to work on a fallen race, which they do. All right? So Satan's offer here in his alternative position is man shall not die and man shall become God. Now, the way that this deathlessness is often expressed then in religions is that man's spirit won't die and his spirit is going to go back to God. So this is often termed as reincarnation. Reincarnation basically says the spirit works through a lot of bodies and these bodies are worthless. So after it goes through one body, it casts it off and goes to another body and casts that off because bodies or flesh is evil. Flesh is evil. So reincarnation is usually the way this is explained. In the occult movement called Spiritism, they have a slogan, there is no death. Where did they get that slogan? There is no death. I mean, that comes directly from the Garden Lies. And the other point here is deification, or we might call this humanism. Man is good and he's getting better. Humanism. It's all based on knowledge. So Satan's two lies worked with Adam and Eve, and they worked through the centuries. Now, to develop this a little bit, when he says, ye shall be as gods, this is another way of talking about pantheism. Pantheism basically means all, pan is all, is God. All is God, and God is all. So in pantheism, that means the whole, what they call the whole universe is God. So that means trees are God, birds are God, animals are God, everything's God, including man and animals. So pantheism. So summing this up very quickly here, Satan's theology is basically a pantheistic theology based on Gnosticism or secret knowledge. And the secret knowledge has as the main two points, man shall not die, and man is God. All right? Man shall not die, and man is God. So, as we take this forward now, we come to our passage. And in our passage, I'm not going to try and draw what I have here. Here we have deity. Now, when we're talking about deity or God, various movements call deity here the force or energy or the mind, thought, anything like this, intelligence. All right. When we talk about deity, we're not talking about the deity of the Bible. All right. The deity is up here, and man's down here. Man's down here. And somehow deity, in their thinking, deity came down to man. And for various reasons, maybe deity forgot that it was deity. Maybe deity sinned, became man. Maybe deity had certain passions about things. Anyway, for some reason, deity has become man. And man now, being divine, needs to get back to deity. And that's what all of the world religions teach, all of the cults teach, all of the world religions cults of the past, present, and all the way up into the future. Now, in their thinking here, they would say, however, there is a path. There's a path that man can take to get back to deity. And what the Gnostics call this path is the fullness or pleroma. So it's an effort to move up the pleroma. Now, in the effort to move up the pleroma, man needs to get out of the material realm. So those at the low levels in the pleroma are still men, like Hindu holy men. They're still men. Swamis, they're still men. Witch doctors, shamans, they're still men, you see. So they're still in the material, but they're working their way out. But the goal is ultimately to get up here to the immaterial realm, like where the angels are. So this is where angelology comes in, where the angels are. Angels are immaterial, although sometimes they might manifest as material, but they're immaterial. So this is the false system, remember. But this is where man is. So man needs to work his way up the pleroma to become deity again, to be self-realized, self-realization. There's an expression. You need to find yourself, self-realization. So man needs to work his way up here. Now, the second century pagan religions called entities in here as your eons, as I mentioned there in the handout, eons. And so this is what man has to do. He has to work himself up the ladder. And let's go back to our points now in the handout. All right, so point one is the pleroma refers to the totality of divine powers. Now remember, this is the false position. So the pleroma, this is where all the divine powers are. That's what it refers to. The aeon, is a manifestation of deity in the pleroma, which manifestations move downward from non-material to material. So down here in the material is the realm of flesh. Flesh. And their thinking is flesh is evil. We want to get out of the flesh. Flesh is evil. We want to get out of the flesh. We want to become immaterial, because up here in the immaterial realm is we're one step back to becoming deity again in the immaterial realm. So, the point three, the last part of point two, there are multiple eons in the various systems of Gnosticism. All right, point three. The material manifestation occurred in the pleroma because of some past limitations, such as a passion, a flaw, or sin. So, this is where the system, their system is somewhat incongruous, but they have a low view on deity. Somehow, deity forgot it was deity. Deity sinned. Deity did something, and deity ended up materialized as man. Deity is locked in a body. Deity must get out of the body, and it must work its way back up to pure spirit or intellect or mind. Now, a good example of this, I mentioned down at the bottom, just to help crystallize what we're talking about, is let's look at point nine. For example, L. Ron Hubbard's Scientology, or known also as Dianetics. Now, the word Dianetics, just two Greek words combined together, means through the mind. Through the mind. So the focus is on the mind, the intellect. That's where deity is, the intellect. This is a classic case. Humans are immortal thetons, or deities. So it's one of their words. So all mankind is a theton, who have forgotten their divine past as they have identified with the physical world. Now, in his system, man has engrams. Engrams are mental impediments. Mental impediments would be thoughts that are painful. In other words, you look back to painful experiences and you have these thoughts and they are called engrams. And so you need to go to sessions, auditing sessions. So you need to meet with an auditor who will hook you up to an e-meter and help you clear these engrams. All right? Now, this is what Tom Cruise believes in. Many of the Hollywood stars believe in this nonsense. But it's really not nonsense, it's just part and parcel of the system here. So so these engrams must be cleared in their auditing sessions so that they can proceed upward in their assumptions. So he used the word assumption But assumption is just the pathway upward, their assumption upward, which is another form for reincarnation. What assumption means is reincarnation, moving up the pleroma to return to deity. E-meters help them reach pre-clear stages in their progression. Now, these auditing sessions are costly. They cost money. So if you're going to join Scientology, you better have a lot of money. That's why it's very appealing to Hollywood and the wealthy. Because you have to go through these auditing sessions to get pre-cleared. And once you get cleared at this level, oh, there's the next level. Well, you have to have another session for that. Now you know why when he was alive, he was had a tremendous, it was more than a yacht, it was like one of these big ships that they, what do they call them, the luxury liners. I mean, it was a luxury liner he lived on. And he sailed around the oceans, and he called the Sea Org, the Sea Organization. So he lived there. He lived on this luxury liner. He had a staff there and so on. He taught this heresy, and so he made millions. But the whole idea is, you've got to work your way up. And so in Scientology, the way to do that is through getting rid of your engrams, which are harmful thoughts that somehow brought you back down here to man. So man has to work himself back up there. So Scientology is a good example of this. But all of your religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, they all teach the same thing. Buddhism has eight paths. However you want to look at it, this is all repackaged. And it's repackaged thousands of different ways. So how can my repackaging of this reach you, you see? Where's your interest? Oh, your interest is here? Oh, I may repackage it so that this appeals to your interest. And so that's how it works. All right, so 9 is an example of this. Now let's go back here, point 4. Man needs knowledge. Man needs gnosis, the knowledge of Gnosticism, to know how to overcome physical or flesh limitations to enter the pleroma, moving from the material to the non-material, eventually to deity. So he needs knowledge. And so that's why it's held out here. So they all say, we've got knowledge. We will show you how to do it. It may be in our book. It may be in our Bible. It may be in, our auditing or counseling or in this teacher or here, maybe, but you need help. You need knowledge. You need to work your way up. And so, point 5, reincarnation is the mechanism needed for man to move upward in the pleroma to deity. So reincarnation. 6, as man receives gnosis or knowledge, which enhances his spiritual power or energy, energia. He moves through levels or steps with the help of swamis, shamans, religious leaders, teachers, spirit guides or demons, angels, esoteric writings or mystery secret writings, and eventually reaches deity status. So man needs these helps, but here's where energy comes in. So with knowledge, one can become energized and have greater energy. And now, in doing a word study on energy or energia is found 8 times in the New Testament. Most of the times it talks about the Lord and his energy for his power. A couple times in 2 Thessalonians, it refers to Satan and his manipulation of energy. Now, we're really not sure what energy is, but it is something. And scientists can't define energy, but they can see the result of energy, which would be power or work. Well, let's notice here in 2 Thessalonians. we have in the passage here 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So his working here, the energizing of Satan with all power and signs. So he uses energy to produce supernatural events. So there is energy. Now, energy can be manipulated. So energy can be manipulated through breathing. Touch and punctures through punctures or piercings. That's what it is. Piercings through piercings. All right. So this is how energy is manipulated. And so the manipulation of energy, for instance, example of this in yoga, the practice of yoga. Yoga is Hindu, a Hindu term. Yoga is the word for yoke. And so in the practice of yoga, it's an effort to yoke you with deity. That's what yoga is. So to talk about Christian yoga would be a misnomer, because we don't need to be yoked with deity as a man trying to become deity. If we're a Christian, we already are in Christ, you see. So, but this is the idea of yoga. And yoga is an introductory level. By the way, these are usually offered at the introductory level to get people involved in seeking more energy or power as they work themselves up the way. So, we've got breathing, breathing techniques. We also have touch, touch type of techniques, such as one technique called rothing. That's a very heavy massage, but it's an effort to massage the energy in you. And there's people have testified when they've had this heavy massage occurring that they've had a spirit come over them, so it's called rolfing. So it's just not a regular massaging. Nothing wrong with that, but this is demonic massaging. Yes.
Is it correct to understand though that there are spirits waiting to fulfill these desires?
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's a spirit realm all around us. The spirit realm around us has both angels who minister to saints and demons who want to, who are looking for people that are want to enter into the spirit realm at the introductory level, and they're ready to offer something. But in offering something, there's a tremendous exchange. You lose a great deal. You don't know what you're going to lose. So, yeah, demons are involved in this. And then puncturing is the other, piercings. And this is where comes in all these body piercings and tattooing. All of these things are piercings at particular places in the body, especially here. And it may have Jeff say something on in a minute, so if you want to get your thoughts ready, on piercings and puncturing and so on. So that these are openings. This is the way to open yourself. Now, it's at an introductory level down here, right at the introduction of entering into the Pleroma. But as one enters in, then there is the sense of enjoyment of the power that may be available. And then this is what takes you on up from their point of view. But our culture, since we live in a post-Christian America, so Christianity's come and gone in America. We live in a secular and pagan world. All this Eastern teaching is coming and is flooding our world. And so we have this strong flooding, tattoos, piercing, all the acupuncture, everything involved here, Christian yoga, all these things are being put on the public as they enter in. And then, of course, there's also a great deal in our culture about werewolves, vampires, zombies, all of these occult ideas. And so we live, our society is being bombarded with occultism, and we don't even recognize that, how far our society has gone. Do you want to say anything on energy or the piercing or the places on the body or anything like that?
Sure. We've had the teaching of the Constitution of Man where we know that the physical body is linked with the spiritual body, so what affects one affects the other. And in studying the energy body, there's major areas and channels and pathways which that energy flows through, which actually links both. And I don't find it a coincidence at all that the major areas of piercings intersect the major areas of those pathways, but not just the major areas, but the gateways which allow that energy to interact with the external world. So when it gets pierced, it's almost like putting a door jamb in a door and leaving it open, so there's an open pathway or channel between your physical and spiritual body and that external energy that's out there.
Okay. So this is big in the occult realm. Now, we as Christians might say, well, you know, it doesn't impact me any, but it does impact the world. And somebody asked me about some of these young people that shoot up high schools. You know, we have this going on all the time. So the scenario might be this way, that these young people, presumably unsaved people, they get involved in this. They get involved in their piercings and their breathing and the occultism, and they're on these occultic games and following werewolves and Wolverine Man, whatever that is. I mean, all kinds of things out there. They're following all this heavily, and so they've opened the door. They've opened the door to the occultic realm as an unsaved person, and one day an entity enters, takes them over, and has them grab a gun and go out and shoot people. This is what happens. And so, although it may be enticing to open the door to the occult realm through some of this, you don't know how far open that door will go and where you're going to end up.
Right.
You don't know where you're going to end up. But once you open the door, there's nothing to protect you, especially an unsaved person, from being completely overtaken and becoming a destructive force. But this is tantalizing and it's enticing, and people enter into this. Now, Brother Jeff also indicated in martial arts. Martial arts is really an introductory level of this as well, and so as you move up into different belts, you gain more power, you gain more knowledge. But with gaining more knowledge, you gain more power. The idea of martial arts basically is to defeat your enemy without ever touching them. That's the idea, right?
Yeah,
to knock them over without ever touching them. That's occultism, and that occurs. And that's come out of the Eastern world over here. And so I think you said what? After a person gets a black belt, now they're ready to really learn what the energy that's available. And so that's why some people have two or three black belts, but they're moving. But this is just another way of you enter into that. So the idea is for the Eastern man who being involved in this is as a warrior, is to use the energy, but really he's gaining more power and trying to work his way up. So if you went to a witch doctor or somebody, a shaman, a Hindu man, you would want somebody with the greatest power available, right? You'd want to go to the one that had the greatest, not the one with the least. And that's their goal. They're to move up. They're to move up the pleroma till they reach the immaterial realm. And then after that, they go back to deity. So this is what our country is being overcome with. Now, I've given what this Colossians 2 passage is talking about. I want to come back to this. Let's look at point 7 now. This false system of Gnosticism has as its foundation lies in the garden, including deification and deathlessness of man based on knowledge played out in terms such as pantheism, reincarnation, humanism, flesh is evil. Now, flesh is evil doctrine, I've mentioned this in 1 Timothy 4, where we have reference to two doctrines, the doctrines of devils, 1 Timothy 4, 1. And two of the doctrines are forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats. This is referring to flesh, marital flesh. Marital flesh is bad. Animal flesh is bad. If I'm trying to work myself up, why do I want to identify with marriage? Because marriage is two individuals and flesh, in the flesh. Why do I want that if I'm trying to get out of the flesh? And likewise, why would I want to eat animal meat? If I'm trying to get into the spirit realm and leave the physical realm, why do I want to eat animal meat? Because it's going to hold me behind. So marriage and animal meat are going to hold me back in my move. So I want to become celibate and vegetarian as I move up. All right, you see that? Now, if you don't like certain meats, that's one thing. That doesn't mean you're a Gnostic. Or if you like to eat a lot of lettuce, that doesn't mean anything. But if you're doing this for religious reasons, see, that's a problem. So other terms here, karma. Karma means if you've done bad in the past, then you might regress. That's why you need to do good, whatever good means, as you're working up, because you don't want to have bad karma, and then you have to regress back down the ladder. And karma is a word in American English public now. Celibacy, vegetarianism, magic, energy points, and manipulation, piercings and tattoos, poltergeist, a noisy ghost. The noisy ghosts are out there, and they're some of them may be helping us. Either in our, not us, but helping them in their move up or move down. So the poltergeist. But the poltergeist are usually considered those who have reached a certain immaterial stage, but they're still struggling. That's why they're noisy ghosts. They're still struggling, and they need to move beyond that. And then UFO encounters. By the way, you may have an alien. An alien may want to help you. I mean, after all, the aliens may be those who are a lot higher on the ladder than you. That are still in the flesh. But you see, that's what you have to look forward to. You look like an alien, but they may be able to help you as you're moving up the ladder of the pleroma. Point 8, all religions, cults, and philosophical systems repackage the lies of the garden and the Gnostic perversion of Colossians 2, 8 through 10 with various terms, meanings, and personages. So it's always repackaged. It's always repackaged. And so it can be Hinduism, it can be Shintoism, it can be the New Age movement. They're all the same teaching. It's just different terms. Same teaching, different term. Now, let's go back to our passage. So, hopefully, as we've seen what this passage doesn't teach, we can now try to understand what it does teach. What it does teach. And that is, Paul says, to the Colossian church. So the Colossian church was facing the same thing that our American public is facing. Because this is not new. It's just repackaged. He says to them, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world." Rudiments is a word that's referring to angelic beings. So, or demons, actually. "After the rudiments," or demons of the world, not after Christ. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead." So, what the Bible here is teaching us is that Christ is the fullness. Period.
Amen.
He's the fullness. So, we don't need shamans and witch doctors and so on and so forth. Christ is the fullness. And, he goes on to say, "And ye are complete in him." We're in him. So, there's nothing missing. There's no secret knowledge we need. Now, there's plenty of knowledge in the Word of God that's all written here. There's not something over here that God forgot to write about. He wrote everything he wants us to know. All the knowledge, you want to call it secret knowledge, all the knowledge is right here and is available to everybody. Just have to dig in. And so, "For in him dwell all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. And he is the head." So Christ is the head. He's the head. Why do we need some angel, some alien, some spirit entity to help us? He's the head. He's over it all. So you might say, "Well, yeah, I'm not looking forward to a UFO encounter and an alien speaking to me and so on." Well, then don't get hooked down here. Don't get hooked down here. You see, don't open the door. Because who knows? Who knows who's going to visit you if you get hooked down here? Who knows? So, of course, this is primarily for the unsaved, but this is what many of the people that you work with have contact with out there in the unsaved world. They're open to the teaching. Some of them may be hardcore right into that. Others may be open to it. Others may be dabbling with it. How many of you work with people who say they're witches, or they're part of the Wicca, or they're involved in martial arts, or on and on and on? You work with people, you bump into people. How many people are involved? See, so they're all open to this. They're all open to this. And so we, on the other hand, know the truth here, and we can tell them that if you trust Christ as your Savior, for in him dwelleth all the fullness. He's the fullness. You don't need to work your way up. By the way, you're a sinner. You're not God. You're a sinner. You need to repent. You can't become God. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll help this time to be profitable as we think of these thoughts and be able to help others as well. We pray that you'll bless our efforts here and bless in the morning service as well, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.